Today's audio cast for Monday, September 18th, 2006 is sponsored by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News. They're usually the stars of the show, and the sights and sounds of warbirds thrill millions of airshow attendees every year. For decades, groups like the Commemorative Air Force have dedicated themselves to keeping these living pieces of history in flying condition for the rest of us to enjoy. But while the aircraft themselves are holding up well, those who fix and fly them are getting quite a few hours on them, and it begs the question of who will carry on the legacy. There's a movement afoot to ensure that these aircraft will continue to have qualified people to look after them, and EAA's Earl Lawrence spoke with AvWeb's Russ Niles about that effort.
So what is the latest? I understand there's been a series of meetings and things are moving forward.
No, absolutely. We're always working with the agency. Operation of historic aircraft, not just warbirds, but all the various historic aircraft that are out there, and keeping them flying has always been a challenge for both the industry and the agency. Things like, how do you get a check right? Where do you get a type rating? When there's only one of a particular make or model out there, you know, an ME-109, there aren't that many people who can give you a checkout in that aircraft. And the reason why we want those checkouts is to keep the airplane safe. They're great artifacts. Everybody wants to do the right thing, but the regulations as they stand are really built around aircraft that are readily available. So we have these unique challenges in the warbird community, and we've been working with the FAA, really, 20, 30 years, if not longer, back when Paul Poperesny, we used to sit down with him and sit down and explore ways that we can work together to keep these aircraft flying safely, and but also getting the services and support we need from the government to keep them in the air.
Okay, well, what have the latest meetings been focused on?
What the FAA calls roadmaps, and they have roadmaps for various areas, and think of it as a strategic plan going into the future. There aren't that many people around, for example, who know how to be a flight engineer on a B-29 anymore. You know, how is the agency going to deal with ensuring that the right people are available in the future? So what they've been doing and sitting down is coming up with a plan and saying, geez, here are some ways that we can help facilitate this industry to make sure that we can keep flying these historic aircraft when they realize that the agency and the industry, for that matter, is losing more and more availability of folks that are highly skilled in this area. So it's just that. It's a plan. It says, here are some approaches that we can have. And they really wanted to sit down with the industry, with the, you know, the Warbirds of America folks, our leadership, and saying, you guys operate these aircraft. How do you think is the best way that we could approach this on a long-term basis to, you know, continue the support that's needed, with the recognition that, you know, every FISDO isn't going to be able to support the flight operations for these historic aircraft?
Well, clearly that means bringing younger people into the mix. So what sort of process would be involved if, say, I wanted to become a flight engineer on a B-29?
Well, exactly. If you wanted to be a flight engineer on a B-29, there's really only one opportunity. I guess the first thing you're going to have to do is join the Commemorative Air Force and join those wonderful folks down in Texas there with the last flying B-29. But, you know, your question is really about how do you go about getting the, you know, the training and expertise, and where do you get a check ride, for example, and how do you maintain that? And, you know, right now, if you went to your local FAA office, they wouldn't have somebody in that office that could support that. And so what we're doing is setting up this cadre at a national level, individuals that can travel around the country that have the proper training that can support this. And going back to the people who are operating these, and they're doing things like looking at multiple aircraft and saying, you know, we have an individual here who's been a flight engineer for the last 40 years, and they know the following aircraft. Even though they may not have specifically flown the B-29 in the last couple of years, we know they're capable as anybody else in the world of teaching and instructing and checking out another, you know, individual. So let's hook those two up together. You know, let them get their training that way.
What about the aircraft themselves? There have been some concerns about the the age of them and the care that they receive and whether or not they can be properly maintained. Is there any focus on that?
Not as part of this particular study. Talking about the roadmap, it's really about the operation. We're talking about pilot checks and pilot training and those type of operations. Now, another part of the agency, the Small Airplane Directorate, has been looking at just the overall issues of aging aircraft and what needs to be looked at on maintenance of the various aircraft that are out there on a long-term basis. Because as we all know, as when we get older, we need a little bit more maintenance. Those of us who are getting up in age, you know, the back doesn't work as well, and, you know, other things cause trouble. So we need to be looked at a little bit more closely. And, you know, so there is some focus on there, but that hasn't been part of these roadmap discussions. It has been part of discussions with our community, and the agency is, as I said, being led by the Small Airplane Directorate on those efforts.
So what's it going to look like going into the future? We're going to have this cadre of experts fanning out over the country, making sure that things get done safely and properly?
That's the idea. We've actually been upgrading over the years the amount of training that has been required. I mean, if you go way back, with experimental aircraft specifically, take a P-51, you obtain what was called a letter of authorization. There wasn't a formal training and check-based process, and that's what's been implemented in the last few years. But when you implement a formal process like that, that also means you have to have the check airmen to support that, and that's what they've been looking at. How do we maintain a cadre of folks that can give the training in these aircraft, number one, and then number two, verify that the pilots have the minimum level of safety to be operating these aircraft. Some of them are quite complicated. The proposals and what the FAA is looking at is creating these cadres of folks similar to what EAA and FAA set up years ago with what was called our National Designated Pilot Examiner Registry, which was a very small group of pilots that were allowed to jump from airplane to airplane. In other words, instead of just being able to give a training and checks in a DC-3, for example, they would say, okay, this individual is authorized all multi-engine land aircraft that are, you know, of a certain type of, piston engine, for example. Or let's take swept wing fighters, and these guys are good for swept wing fighters. And what that enables is groupings of folks. So it's so difficult to maintain currency in all these various different types of aircraft, but there are similarities in between them. Instead of just having maybe five people in the whole country, let's see if we can get them spread out around the whole country in the areas that they need it. And that's been another part of this effort, because there's been a lot of concern in the community as if you own an L-39 or one of the newer jets, shouldn't there be more people available? There's lots of them flying around, and let's not just have the three people in the country who can give you a check on it. Let's get more individuals spread out throughout the country that can assist with the training and checks on them.
EAA's Earl Lawrence speaking with Russ Niles. In today's edition, we'll tell you more about the destruction of 110 small aircraft by the Air Force, controversy in Northwest Florida over the location of a new airport there, and we'll tell you about how the pilot of a business jet managed to get run over by his own airplane. For all this and more, log on to www.avweb.com. To comment on today's podcast, just drop us an email to audionews@avweb.com. Today's audiocast was sponsored by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Look for Avweb's next audiocast on Friday, September 22nd. I'm Mike Blakeney, and thanks for downloading Avweb's Audio News.